Good morning. Today is Monday, February 1st, the 32nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
Good morning, Brian.
Howdy, howdy. You've imagined to avoid the flu, huh?
Yeah, so
far. I mean, you're sounding chipper.
Yeah, I got my shot this year for the first time.
Oh, did you?
Maybe that had it.
Do you have people lining up volunteering to provide the service for you?
Yeah, I couldn't believe how big those syringes were.
Yeah, particularly when they wave it around in front of your eyes to make sure that they get your attention.
Yeah, and she stuck it in with a little bit of strength behind it.
A little passion?
Bow!
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Oh, gee. So you want this Italian proverb, huh?
No, it was the other page.
Oh, over here, number three?
On the other, there you go.
Okay. Oh, great. Some guy with a name you can't pronounce.
That's why I gave it to you.
Thank you. Okay, it's from The Art of Worldly Wisdom, printed in 1647.
See?
Uh-huh. Let's see if I can figure this. Baltistar?
Yes. Garcian?
Okay. That's right. You got the Spanish thing down. I did. I've been looking at it thinking it's French.
Probably is.
The quote, "Never battle with a man who has nothing to lose, for then the conflict is unequal." Ain't that the truth, huh?
Yeah.
Or the derivation of that one? Never get into a battle of wits with someone who's unarmed.
See, that's a radio talk guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. That's having had that applied often for me.
Yeah.
It's more of a frequency of exposure thing. So let's talk a little bit about these shelters that are up and in place. Dan did a little story this morning about some of the emergency shelters up. Normally in the past, and I'll go back 20 years, it was a big press release and press conference, and here's where it is, and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, and there would be X number of numbers of people who were there, and we'd be getting updates and all that kind of stuff. Haven't heard that one this year.
Well, that's because the shelters have been open. Well, they've been activated, but they have not been opened. And so what the procedure is, once the rescue mission gets full, then they open the shelter, the emergency extreme weather shelter. And they had not had to open them this year. Now, they might have this weekend because it's pretty cold. And I know that the rescue mission, we track it pretty closely, was getting full towards the end of the week, which we're actually happy about.
Okay, help me understand this a little bit better. The emergency, the rescue mission isn't normally at capacity because people don't want to be in there.
Correct.
But now when it gets a little uncomfortable outside, all of a sudden then they get full because people then want to come inside?
That's certainly part
so
of it.
So is this a mental shift or is this just physical discomfort?
I think it's physical discomfort. And I think, but the other reason probably is, I'm just, speculating here, is that we're working out there with many people on a daily basis. And we're telling people consistently, you need to get a place to stay. So I think maybe a couple are listening and going for that shelter.
Listening to you, not listening to us.
They're not on.
Or listening to us also.
Kids, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I did.
Yeah. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, not to get too close to national politics, but the discussion about the server and Kennedy, Clinton, and national secrets. Okay. Where does, do you have any experience in dealing with any of this kind of stuff? It kind of seems tough for most of us to grasp.
Yeah, a little bit. When I was in charge of intelligence for San Diego, they had a top secret clearance. And
boy, talk about an oxymoron, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
okay.
Mills in charge of intelligence. Okay.
Yeah, or police intelligence. Yeah, same thing. And in order to have secret documents transmitted, just secret, so there's multiple levels. There's law enforcement sensitive. There's non-foreign disclosure. There's secret. There's top secret. There's secret compartmentalized, with all kinds of different ratings on them.
So all these are just different gradations?
Gradations, as well as what you can do with these documents. Some documents can't be transmitted over non-secure lines because they can be intercepted. I mean, that's what governments do, is they try to intercept that kind of information. So
it's kind of like a financial documents that are always encrypted and stuff,
right?
We hear like the banks do and
right,
that kind of stuff.
Okay. Right. So in order to get a secret, just a secret document, the lowest level of classification, from FBI to us, that was hard copied, took a courier who is trained in transmit and carrying secret documents with in a pouch that's locked.
Is the bracelet?
Bracelet on the briefcase kind of deal.
So the TV isn't too far away.
Well, yeah, it's not too far away.
Okay.
So to transmit secret documents into a building, it takes that. In order to go to the next level, which is top secret, you have to have a SCIF. A SCIF is a room that you can't hear into, and that it's locked and has, you know, biometrics, for instance, to get into the room, that only certain people with these classifications can get in that room.
That's the thumbprint, eye scan?
Yeah, it can just be even a, you know, different kind of lock. And there's all kinds, there's whole books on how you have to construct this SCIF. We actually looked at building a SCIF inside the police department so we could get those top secret documents in there. It was just too cost prohibitive. You're talking, it's going to be over $500,000 to build that SCIF.
So that's just for somebody to be able to read it or to be able to discuss it?
To read and or discuss, just to get those documents in there. So because people can't see in there from the outside, they can't listen into it from the outside. It has to have certain types of protection on the ports coming in for the data, for the computer systems. So it is a...
And this is still low level.
Yeah, well, that's top secret. Yeah, that would be top secret stuff, but it still goes above that to the, you know, to the real high end stuff that we wouldn't even have access to.
So the things that they're talking about, these 22 that are being discussed, those were beyond top secret.
I don't know.
Or is that roughly that level?
Yeah, roughly that level. I mean, I don't know. I haven't read those documents. I just read a couple of them online that, you know, the Wall Street Journal has published, and that they are not top secret. And the whole idea of top secret is you don't want to give away the mechanism and the means of collecting information. So if it was a, you know, super secret satellite that's picking up this stuff, you don't want that known to the enemy that we have that satellite. And that's the purpose of those classifications. Or if it's a high-level source, for instance, if we're spying on, you know, on Kins and we have Damon as our source, you know, we're naming Damon in this document. Well, we don't want that document out there. The government doesn't. And reading through some of those documents, it's pretty interesting.
You know, I've always had my eye on Damien. I'm not quite 100% sure. Yeah.
He's the engineer, for those who don't know.
Yeah. The button pusher. Yeah. The guy that keeps cutting me out. So when something like this is breached, or potentially breached, I guess maybe that would be the more intriguing. If it's breached, okay, somebody's got it, they're running with it, and there's ripples. What about, you're not sure? Could have been. Not really sure. Do you sit back and wait for signs? Or do you make the presumption that, okay, a breach occurred, that information is in whoever the bad guy is, it's in their hands, they know everything about it, and we react accordingly?
Well, you know, I'm certainly not going to talk about the Secretary of State level, but no, I have buddies that
were... Back when you were in charge of intelligence.
Well, you got vetted. You got vetted regularly to make sure that you're handling the handling protocols are all in place. I have a buddy who was an old neighbor and worked for the agency for many years, and every 6 months, he got brought in and got hooked up to God with small
really?
G. And,
okay.
Have you given any information that is classified to anybody else is one of the questions, including your wife. My buddy Jim just always had that fear in the back of his mind, that monkey on your shoulder, and that's why the FBI agents and the CIA guys and NSA, they are tight-lipped about anything that's classified. So when you have,
they don't have softball teams.
No, yeah. So they're pretty. You know, it's the bottom line is people are very careful with classified documents because your career depends on it.
The information that is shared around Humboldt County, does it ever hit that level?
It can be. I have one of my detective sergeants working on his secret classification with the FBI. So he'll be able to go down and get briefed up, and mine's still valid.
Boy, that was a punch through, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. So, Andy, what is the challenge that you've got with whatever information there might be in Humboldt County? I mean, we hear that DOJ comes through every once in a while. Yeah, yeah. It's probably on the way to Oregon.
Did I just snort over
or
the radio?
Up to Pelican Bay.
Something
along those lines. We've got the legalization pending.
Mm-hmm.
For recreational, we've got the medicinal that's everybody's getting all geared up for, and I still think it's for revenue generation through fines and compliance rather than anything else. I would think that most of the information in our area is drug related. Fair statement?
Yeah, I would think so. Organized crime.
That's right. Then getting related, in that continuum out into the organized crime, everybody says, well, we don't want to bust the local guy because we want to get to whoever Mr. Big or Mrs. Big is.
They don't know cops very well.
Okay. Well, so you have the filter, and they. Do we have critical information or sensitive information in our area that is going through these processes or has been labeled in one form or another?
Yes, we do. But it's just more complex than reading one bulletin and saying, I have a good understanding of what's going on. Excuse me. You have to not only take a look at the information that's collected by others, but then you have to somehow synthesize it as well as interpret it and understand it. So there's a whole intelligence cycle that you go through to take a look at this information. So we
kind
might
of vetting it.
Yeah, well, vetting it as well as understanding it and putting additional things in. So, for instance, if I say something to the effect of, "We have Bulgarians, organized crime trafficking marijuana in Humboldt County throughout the United States,"
and it's a pretty well known fact.
Well, right, and so I'm picking off something everybody knows. Well, then you start asking questions about that and then seeking sources of information to collect that data. For instance, how are they shipping it? How are they getting it from point A to point B? Where are they getting generators? How are they laundering their money? How are they shipping? Where are they shipping their money? Back to Bulgaria, or are they putting it through a bank? What bank? Who's the courier? And so you're looking at connection points to do that. And that takes an incredible amount of time, effort, and energy, which, be frank, law enforcement in Humboldt County just doesn't have the resources for.
So kind of filling in the information gaps
right.
is the goal.
Right.
But it does require
It requires an analyst to do that. That requires software that we may or may not have. It requires, teams for surveillance and how to use surveillance on a one-lane dirt road up in the mountains. It's fairly complex. And, it's interesting. It's a guy, an attorney and some from down south as well. Some security people came up and were talking to the sheriff and myself and a couple of others about getting ready for the medical marijuana, transporting dope from up here down to San Diego. In L.A. and Orange County, because that's where the population is.
It's all legal.
Well, yeah. And so they were talking about the process of that. And so, yeah, we'll just take it from here down there. Really? How are you going to do that? Well, we'll have a caravan of trucks and cars and machine guns and, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you're talking about legally doing it and
legally,
protecting the
right.
the product on
yeah,
the way down.
Protecting the load. Because if you take a semi-load down, you're talking millions, a couple million dollars worth of product. And so Mike and I are like, really? How are you getting your trucks up the mountain? Well, we're driving trucks up there. No, you don't understand. Some of these fields are 5 miles off the road. You're not taking an 18-wheel truck back there. Oh, we didn't really kind of think about that. Because like any product, there's a supply side economic and there's a supply, business management practices that have to go into this. So, and from the intelligence side, you're trying to identify that process. And once you can get and understand that process, you figure out how to destroy it.
But you're not looking to destroy the medicinal marijuana because that's legal.
Well.
At least at the state level it is,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, and to be honest, I'm more of a, because along with the marijuana, because you can't put the marijuana money in banks, you can't launder it. So you have tax evasion. You have environmental damage. You've got all these other things going on that everybody talks about all the time. So if we're going to have marijuana used at the level it is, you might as well legalize it and tax the snot out of it. I mean, if it's a $4 billion industry at 8%, it'd be $320 million.
You get that analyst, huh?
Yeah, I could get me that analyst to help us get at him.
Just with the sales tax.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And how sad would it be? Not being facetious, how sad it would be to pit one city up here against another to be the point of sale. Because you know that they would be doing all kinds of things. It would make the car industry battles look really, really tame.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, not only point of sale on a medicinal level, but then...
Or just collecting the tax.
Collecting the tax revenue, but then where do you warehouse it?
The security issues.
How do you secure it? We get home invasion robberies as it is over drugs. We had one last night. And that's the kind of stuff that you take a look at and you go, this environment where we have people, storing drugs and then getting ripped off and innocent people get in the middle of it. It's just, it's time to figure out what to do with it and make some moves.
Hey, we've got, another 4 or 5 weeks here before the county has their stuff in place. KINS... What'll come first, that or the general plan? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. So you've been around long enough to get the general plan reference. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. So, Andy, in our area, with things as they are, and we've got the pending legalization, you've got you mentioned last night's activity there with somebody breaking in for drugs all over the place. What do you see? I mean, are we going to have more need for intelligence in our area in the next year and a half? Are you trying to anticipate your resource allocation in that direction? Or if this thing passes in the fall and then you got legalization for the medicinal stuff going, do you see it dissipating and that maybe there's some signs of hope for those that want a normal community around here?
Well, two things. One, we are in the process of creating a strategic plan for our department, so it'll take us out 5 years.
It's not going to take you 7 years to come up with the 5-year plan.
don't get me involved in this. We're going to do it in two stages. One is February 9th and 10th. I'm bringing in every person in our department over a 2-day period, so we have to staff the streets still, and little details. And we're going to talk about where do we go from here, and how do we get there. And so that'll be an interesting conversation. Because budgets are limited, we have to plan for what we want to accomplish, what we anticipate that's going to be down the road, and I'm sure some of our really bright, capable people will come up with some of these ideas. And certainly I've thought through much of where I want us to go. Second stage of that will be we're going to sit down with the community. Oh, at the end of February, beginning of March, in 4 or 5 sessions, and learn what the community wants over the next 5 years for EPD. What level of service do they think is appropriate? And what type of crimes would they like us to focus on? What type of disorder should be, the police deal with, whether it's homeless, marijuana, drugs, graffiti, bicycles riding the wrong way in streets. You know, there's a whole plethora of things that need to be done.
And kind of like a ranking?
Yes. Well, we're going to do a online survey for people to do, but we'll also do, like little town hall meetings, and do focus sessions.
Caucusing.
Hey, we're going to caucus crime. And then with a focus group kind of thing to kind of get deeper into the weeds of that. So to answer your question for this thing, yes, I do anticipate that. It's interesting because one of the things that they've allocated is a new department at the state level to and make sure that the bureaucracy is being adhered to for these marijuana grows all over the state.
Now, that doesn't come as a stunner, does it?
No, not at all. In fact, the sheriff asked a pretty interesting question. I almost blew coffee out my nose when he asked the question. So how many people do you have, allocated for this? Oh, like a dozen. A dozen? He goes, I got 4,000 grows in my county. A dozen? And he kind of went off on it. Because he's much
more eloquent than you.
Yes, well, that too. But he's also got a much bigger problem in the county in terms of marijuana grows than I do in the city.
Yeah, we'll be able to pick that conversation up with Mike when he's here on Thursday. Thanks for coming by, bud. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make a hug, and we'll see you then.